Now, when it comes to mycology or mushroom cultivation, whether you've been doing this for 10 years or 10 months or 10 weeks, it really doesn't matter. One frustrating thing we're all gonna have to deal with is contamination. So that's gonna be your mold and your bacteria. Now, the reason for getting mold and bacteria could stem from many different areas, and we're gonna talk about some of those in this video. But the most important thing is how to dispose of it properly so it doesn't harm your future grows or anything you have going on right now. There is a protocol for actually getting rid of it so that it doesn't go airborne and affect anything you have going on. And I think it's really important for you guys to know how to handle it properly so you guys could move forward and have a ton of success. So in this video, we're gonna be talking about molds, bacterias, them goddamn contaminations. Let's go.
Dripping on acid in the hotel lobby. Everything moving hella fast, Ricky Bobby. Floating in the ethers. Listen to the ethers, you can probably tell the future. Superhuman man.
What's going on, Trip Team? First of all, I want to welcome you guys back to a brand new video. Now, if this is your first time here on Willie's World, welcome to the Trip Team family, TTF. That's what it's about. As always, all my social media is right there. Instagram, Patreon with the private library and the private chat room and all that good stuff. So if you want to check it out, it's all right there. We have a huge giveaway going on Instagram right now. If you want to get in on that, make sure you go check out my Instagram and look for this post right here. Look for that post. Just follow the steps down below. At 5,000 followers, we're going to be picking the first winner. And then we're gonna pick a second winner at 10,000 followers. So if you guys wanna get in on that, make sure you go check it out. With that said, I've been so busy, I'm super pumped. We have our 2021 Triple Ween event coming up very, very soon in October. A lot of you guys are asking me, Willie, what's Triple Ween? This is the third year that we've done a Triple Ween. We did it in 2018, 2020, and now 2021. This is gonna be the biggest Triple Ween we've ever done. It's in Costa Rica. It's gonna be absolutely insane. It's gonna be a big group of TTF members staying in a huge mansion on the beach. We're gonna go foraging, we're gonna go zip lining, we're gonna go to hot springs. It's gonna be absolutely insane. So if you guys are coming to Triple Ween this year in Costa Rica, I hope you're as excited as I am because I'm absolutely pumped to meet all you guys and have a ton of fun with you guys over the week that we're there. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it and I can't wait to meet you guys. With that said, we're gonna be covering a topic in this video that, you know, none of us wanna deal with, but if you're in mycology and mushroom cultivation, you kinda have no choice. You're gonna have to deal with contamination. It happens. Nobody has 100 for 100 record, right? Nobody's perfect, and sometimes it's not even your fault that things could get contaminated. And we're gonna talk about that all in this video right here. So let's jump right into it. So right here, I have this contaminated jar. So this jar was given to me by a good friend right here where I live, where the studio is. And this is a jar of oyster mushroom grain spawn. Now this grain spawn is contaminated with black mold. Now this is a mold that's pretty serious. Nobody wants to see this. Now, as far as contamination goes, you know, the most common types of contamination you guys are going to see is trich or trichoderma, what most people call the mean green, black mold, lipstick mold, cobweb mold, and a few different types of bacterias, which are different from molds, but they're all contaminations. And if you get any of the above, it's gonna ruin your grow that you have going on. So you wanna try to avoid that at all costs by being as sterile as possible. But like I said, sometimes you just can't do anything about it because sometimes it isn't your fault. In this case, right here, like this jar, these grains were contaminated because of a contaminated culture that they bought from a vendor. So the spore syringe, the liquid culture, was contaminated and it transferred over to the grains. And this is why it's so important. I tell you guys all the time, whether it's a spore syringe or a liquid culture, it really doesn't matter who it comes from. Before you put it to grains, put it to agar, make sure that it grows out clean before you start knocking up grains. Because once you knock up them grains, that's it. If they're contaminated, they're contaminated. There's nothing you could do about it. So it's not worth wasting the grains. Throw it on some agar first, Make sure it grows out nice and clean. If it grows out nice and clean, it's good to go. You guys can knock up some grains. Now, telling the difference between different types of molds, like this one right here, as you guys could see, is a black or grayish mold. This is gonna be your black mold. Now, when it comes to Trichoderma, which is one of the most common molds that we see in mycology, it's a green mold. So it's a green matte color and it's kind of shiny in the light. Now, I've shown you guys Trichoderma on some other videos in the past. I'm not sure if they're on YouTube or on they're in the private library, but I have shown you guys Trichoderma before. So if you guys want to go check that out, go check it out. But here's a couple pictures of Trichoderma. It's a green mold. Now, another common mold is lipstick mold. Now, lipstick mold could be pink, it could be purple, it could be an orange color. Here's a couple pictures as well. This is a much less common mold, but it does pop up from time to time in mycology and mushroom cultivation. Now, all of these molds release spores the same exact way a mushroom does. So if I was to open up these grains right now and remove the lid, it would release spores into this environment right here. Now, if those spores go airborne, they could remain in this environment for years to come, contaminating grow after grow after grow. Anytime the air conditioning unit kicks on, anytime anybody walks in and out of the room, you could kick up them spores and they could get on your grows or contaminate your dishes or whatever you're working on. So you always want to try to get rid of the contaminated jars, grains, grows as fast as possible. And there's a certain way to do it. And I'm going to tell you guys how to do that. So for instance, let's take this jar right here, this contaminated jar with the black mold, as you guys can see. Would I open this up and dump it out in my trash barrel right here in the studio and, you know, clean out the jar so I could reuse the jar? Absolutely not. The proper way to get rid of this is to go outside. So you want to bring this outdoors. You want to make sure you're wearing gloves and clothes that you could take off immediately. So we would go outdoors. We would open this up. We would throw it into a compost pile or a trash bag, whatever you want to do. I have a compost pile. So all my spent cakes, all my spent grains get thrown into this compost pile and they'll keep producing for a long time after. So if you guys have a bed or you guys got some land and you want to start a compost pile, it would definitely come in handy, especially if you're a mycologist or a mushroom cultivator. Now, once I dump out these contaminated grains, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take some bleach and I'm gonna take some water and I'm gonna fill up this jar. So normally I tell people a 90-10 bleach mix. So that's 90% water, 10% bleach. But really it's up to you. It doesn't matter if you use more bleach, you know, if you use 20% or 30% or even 50%, it's perfectly fine. It's not gonna do anything. You want to fill up the jar with bleach and water. You want to let it sit for at least an hour. And then you want to wash out your jars with soap and water. And then what I do is I take all my jars that might have had contaminated grains in them. I put them in my pressure cooker and I PC them for 30 minutes at 15 PSI with nothing in them. I just lay them upside down in my pressure cooker, turn it on, let them go for 30 minutes at 15 PSI. That's gonna completely sterilize everything. So if the bleach didn't get every single mold spore that was in this jar, it will get them during the pasteurization and kill everything. So that's the proper way to do it. Now, when you're coming back inside, you wanna make sure you take off the clothes that you was wearing. You don't wanna just go back into your workspace. So take off the clothes you was wearing when you went outside, put them in the washing machine, and wash them instantly. Make sure you hop inside the shower, you clean yourself off before you go back into your workspace, because these mold spores could attach to your clothes or your skin and you could bring them back into the workspace. So it's very, very important that you never open up these jars in your workspace where you're actually cultivating and doing mycology work, because this could be one jar that just haunts you for years to come. I've seen it happen so many times. So that's the proper way to actually get rid of them. Now, some people will even just throw the entire jar out. They'll just throw the jar out, they'll call it a loss. But the problem is if you're doing things on a large scale and you got 100 jars and you knock them up with a contaminated syringe or LC, now you might have 100 contaminated jars. You're not gonna throw out 100 contaminated jars because that's gonna be a huge loss. So you have to clean them out. And that's the proper way to clean them out. So let's talk about a few different reasons why things could get contaminated in the first place. So one of the most common reasons for things getting contaminated is not doing your inoculation process the proper way. You're not flame sterilizing, you're not wiping down your surfaces with your antibacterial spray or anything like that. You're not following SterilTech to 100% procedure. You're kind of winging it, you're doing things in the open air, and that's not the proper way to do things. You're gonna have a much lower success rate than somebody that is doing things the proper way. Now, we have tons of videos talking about SterilTech and stuff like that, so I'm not gonna go over that right here in this video, but it is very important that you know SterilTech, you know the proper way to inoculate and do things as sterile as possible. Now, most people don't realize that Tritch, black mold, lipstick mold, bacteria, most of those contaminations are post-sterilization. A lot of people don't realize this. A lot of these contaminations come into play post-sterilization, so after sterilization. So if you sterilize properly, you should clean everything out. So good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. Everything should be reset to zero. You should kill off everything during the sterilization process. Now, most of these contaminations will come from either a contaminated culture or spore syringe, a faulty filter, or you guys ain't flame sterilizing and issues like that. You know, most of these contaminations are avoidable, like I said. Now, in the case of a spore syringe or LC, if you would have just tested it out on agar and sacrificed one agar dish, you would have been able to tell if it was clean before you actually used it. The best part about inoculating agar is if it does grow out clean, now you can use that agar to inoculate some grains. So you're not wasting any of your LC, you're not wasting any of your spores, and you're definitely protecting yourself from wasting a ton of supplies from just knocking things up and finding out after the fact. Now, most of the times you could tell if it was a faulty filter or a contaminated syringe or something else, really, really simple, just by looking at the mold itself. So I don't have any pictures of what a contaminated syringe would look like in a BRF cake, but pretty much if you was to inoculate in four different areas or even one different area, if the syringe or the LC was contaminated, you would actually see the mold growing from the points of inoculation. So exactly where you inoculated, you stuck the needle in, you will actually start to see the mold starting to form from those areas. That's how you can know that it's a contaminated syringe or LC. Now, with BRF cakes, we use a dry verm layer. If that dry verm layer gets wet, it could allow bacteria and molds to get through that dry verm layer that we use as a filter and get to the nutrients, which is the BRF cake itself. So you have to make sure that when you guys are doing BRF cakes, that you're using a dry verm layer that doesn't get wet. It's very, very important. Now, most people ask, you know, Willie, why do we soak our grains? So the reason we soak our grains is for two different reasons. One, by soaking the grains, they're expanding and you're opening up the pores of the grains. So when you do go to sterilize it, you're gonna sterilize much more efficiently to the core of the grain. Now, you can do a no soak, no simmer if you guys wanted to do that. That's perfectly fine. But there is a higher success rate if you guys do soak the grains. We ran 100 bags of no soak, no simmer to soak and simmer, and we seen a difference between the two. We lost about 8% of our bags from the no soak, no simmer. And part of that is just due to the grains not being able to expand before we actually pressure cook. So if you guys do a soak and simmer, you're definitely going to do a better job of sterilizing when you guys do move it to the PC or your autoclave. Now, a lot of people ask, well, once my grow gets contaminated or my grains get contaminated, is there any salvaging it? Is there anything I could do? To be honest with you guys, you'll see a lot of different things out there like mixing hydrogen peroxide with water, or taking a hot butter knife and cutting out the area that's contaminated. Hydrogen peroxide is not good for mycelium, just like it isn't good for the molds or bacteria that you might be spraying it on. So I definitely never suggest using that mix to try to beat some type of contamination. The most common type of contamination people try to beat with the H2O2 mix, which is hydrogen peroxide and water, is cobweb mold. Cobweb mold is a more common mold during colonization and fruiting, but people try to spray it just to try to get some fruits out of whatever they have going on. And I'll tell you guys right now, it might work to get a couple fruits, but it's not going to work completely. It's not going to completely take away the cobweb mold. So if you think it's a fix, it really isn't. And it's also really bad for the mycelium as well. So just keep that in mind. As far as cutting out the contaminated area, say you have trich on a monotub and you try to cut it out with a hot butter knife or something like that, chances are it's going to go away for a day or two and then it's going to pop up somewhere else in the tub. Like I said, it releases spores into the area and those spores start to drop on different areas and start to colonize different areas just like mushroom spores. So you're not going to completely get rid of it. The best course of action is if you see discoloration, if you see mold, get it out of there as soon as possible. Just get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of it, it's going to hurt you for years to come, grows to come. So make sure you get rid of it. Now, most people will say, well, green mold isn't harmful. It's the black mold that you need to worry about. All molds can be harmful, especially if you have asthma or some type of compromised immune system. So there was a study that was done a while back, and people with compromised immune systems that had AIDS or had some type of immune deficiency, they would actually see mold growing on their lungs because their immune system wasn't able to fight it off. So all molds could potentially be harmful or even hurt you, especially if you have asthma. It could trigger asthma attacks. But not only that, you really just don't want it in your environment. So if you see it growing, just get rid of it. And like I said, the best course of action is to take it outside, dump it into your compost pile, rinse everything out with bleach and water, come back, take off your clothes, wash them immediately, take a shower before you step back into your workspace. This is going to give you the best chance for success. It's going to help combat keeping the mold spores in your work environment. Now, I'm going to share a little pro tip with you guys that I don't even think a lot of people know. It's something that I started doing years ago that has worked out really, really good for me, especially when I have a tub that gets contaminated that I'm fruiting out inside my tent. And I want to make sure everything is reset and that there's no mold spores lingering in that area. So what I did was I went to Walmart and I picked up one of the steamers that you steam your clothes with. What I do is I fill up the water reservoir with 90-10 bleach. So 90% water, 10% bleach. I turn on the steamer. I make sure everything's removed from the tent or my workspace. And I start steaming the walls of the tent. I start steaming the racks. The bleach with the water mixed with the really high temperatures is going to kill everything that's inside that area. So you're going to be able to sterilize that area much more efficiently than just going in there and spraying it down with Lysol or a 90-10 bleach mix. I just go in there, I start steaming all the walls, all the racks, and then once everything is steamed, I go in there with a towel, some paper towels, and I start wiping everything down. This is going to clean that entire area. Now, you guys could utilize that little trick to help you out with your personal stuff. I'm telling you, it made a huge difference for me. When I first started out, I kept getting green mold, you know, here and there, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was because the mold spores were in the area or in my general workspace where I was doing things. And eventually, they would end up finding those nutrients in the substrate and start colonizing. The way I got rid of them was with that clothes steamer, and that made a huge difference in my mycology work. Now, like I said, there wasn't anything like this when I first started out years ago. You know, you couldn't find videos that showed you how to do all this. You know, everything was just message boards online, and they really weren't that helpful. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about contaminations, molds, and what's the proper way to get rid of them. Now, like I said, contaminated inoculants like LC or spore syringe, faulty filter, you're not inoculating the proper way, you're not following sterile tech. These are going to be some of your most common reasons for getting mold. Now, when you're trying to figure out why you're getting contaminated, try to change one thing at a time. Don't change up everything at once, because if it does work, you don't know what you was actually doing wrong. So I always tell people, change one thing at a time and see how it works out. So if you think it's because of your sterile tech, do everything the same except follow sterile tech a little bit better. See if it works out. If it works out, then you know that was the issue. Or if you guys are doing no soak, no simmer grains, try doing soak and simmer grains and see if that changes things. If it works, then you know that was the issue. So if you guys want to get into gourmet mushroom cultivation, or you guys want to have your own little setup, you know, to supply food for your family or something like that, these are little tricks that you guys could keep in the bag to help you out and make you a better mycologist and mushroom cultivator. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Like I said, if you guys enjoyed this, make sure you subscribe. I love you guys. I'm Willie Michael. Do good, be good. Live good. Namaste.